Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is good to be here, to be in the house of the Lord. And yeah, it's true. I did grow up in the area. I actually technically met Jessica in Paisley as well. She was doing a backyard Bible club as a CEF missionary, and that's where I met her. So Paisley, of course, has a lot of good memories. Even this building, I did some researching, and my understanding is this is the building I went to kindergarten and grade one in as well. So, yeah. Shout out to Mrs. Barfoot. I don't know where she is anymore, but I think that was my kindergarten teacher. But it's good to be here, and thank you so much for those of you who have helped bring us here. It's been a little bit time coming, but Kristen and Gloria and everyone else and Pastor Dave and everyone, so thank you so much for bringing us here. It's a blessing, and looking forward to speaking to you today about just what God's doing in Ecuador.
So yeah, we are the Cranenbergs. You can see us there up on the screen, and you got a bonus that a lot of us are here today. Usually when we're speaking at churches, we go alone, so it's a bonus for me anyway. The two children up on the bale there are Chloian and Levi. Yes. And they got to be with us in Ecuador. They were with us for the 2 years there. Our older children had to stay behind. They were in university. They went to Redeemer University. And Caleb found the love of his life. So you'll see him there with his wife, Annika. They got married last summer. And today we have Brianna, who is Levi's girlfriend, with us today, all the way from Peru. So you can talk to her about Peru, too. She's an MK missionary kid from Peru. Do you hear that?
Do you hear that?
What is
that? Someone from over here, isn't it? Oh!
Oh, I forgot to introduce Gustavo.
You forgot to introduce Gustavo.
Good morning, Gustavo.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. Are you going to speak in Spanish? Because I don't know if anybody understands
Spanish.
Sí, es
español. Porque es mi idioma.
Yes, I understand. That's your language, but nobody else speaks Spanish here. You've been learning English, right? We've been in Canada for about a year.
Gustavo, you can do this. You've been practicing English. You know, God can use you even in English. He used us in Spanish in Ecuador. Okay? Okay, I try. Wow, you do a good job of projecting your voice. You don't even need a microphone. I think you're going to find that in our stories through today, that it's actually a lot of us coming alongside national people there to do their work. And Gustavo, you can do this. God will use you just like he uses us. Are you ready? You can do this? Okay. Okay, I think we're ready.
So we were in Ecuador with ABWE Canada, which stands for Across Borders for World Evangelism. They were founded almost 100 years ago. Next year is our 100th anniversary. And they were founded by a man named Raphael Thomas. He was a missionary doctor in the Philippines, and he was told that he wasn't allowed to talk about God anymore. He didn't think that was right, so he came back to North America, but he had a group of supporters around him that wanted to get him back. So they made ABWE, and they sent him back where he was able to work holistically on people's spiritual needs and their physical needs.
And there are a lot of spiritual needs in Ecuador, just as there are in Canada. If you look next door, you'll find the needs as well. And so we also want to encourage you to be aware of that, just as Pastor Dave was saying, you can go and make disciples yourselves. We did get to go to Ecuador back in 2021, did a vision trip or a survey trip where we met several different people and got to know a bit about the culture and some of the spiritual needs. And a lot of the people there do live in fear. It's a work-based religion where they feel like they need to do stuff to maybe gain God's approval. And in that uncertainty, it's very fearful. So we are bringing the gospel wherever we go, and because we know that it's only through the blood of Christ that people are saved. And that's what we bring. But when we landed in Ecuador, we did this is back in 2023, we started learning the language. And Gustavo, I was able to speak in Spanish. Did you know that? Sí, sí, señor. Sí, sí. Okay. I have Gustavo here because we want to make this service a little bit more kid-friendly. We'll see. Hopefully the kids over there are loving it. If not, Gloria assured me that puppets are always great for everyone. So, so we'll give it a go. Okay. Okay, so we landed there. We started learning Spanish. We did some online learning. But we couldn't sit still and just do the Spanish. We wanted to get involved in ministry right away. So I joined a little baseball that was going on and was encouraged to start our own baseball team. So that's what we did. Every week we'd have baseball practices. I'd help with some training. I had a Venezuelan friend that was there and he helped with some of the training. And it was challenging. People like Gustavo, they would maybe run to third base. I did not run to third base. Okay, they ran to they would run to third base and instead of first base, and so because they didn't know the game. A lot of people did, so we did a lot of training. But then it spread out from there. In the future, we had teams come in. Teams, I love teams. Love it when teams come in. And they would come in and they would help, and they'd help. One of the things that we did is went to a drug rehab center, and in the drug rehab center, we were challenged to a game of basketball. And by we, I mean the men at the church. Gustavo didn't play. He has a hard time with his legs. He did. But everyone else, the men that came, five of them came, and the men at the drug rehab center challenged us to basketball. And you know what? We did not do so well.
Yeah, you got whooped!
That's true. That's true, isn't it? They destroyed us. And so that actually, we did our prayer time, and we had a devotional time. And during that time, the men that came, they actually got a little embarrassed from being creamed so badly in basketball that the next Sunday at our church, they came to me and they said, "Señor Wesley, we want to learn how to play basketball." They did. They wanted to learn the game of basketball and be trained because the next time we went, they wanted to do better. And so that's how that ministry started. So the next Tuesday, we got together, practiced some basketball, and they brought friends, so it wasn't just the four or five men, it was up to 25 that time, and we just trained, and then started going through the book of John, and every day we would go through and do a short devotional. Gustavo, he was even part of it.
I know, it was so much fun to help him.
Anyway, so he was there, and he did some lessons, because there are a lot of kids, when in Ecuador, kids come, adults come, you can't say, oh, it's just for the teens. Nope, everyone comes and joins in. It was a lot of fun. And then we did a whole lot of other different mission things. We called it Más que Vencedores, which means more than conquerors in Spanish. And that is from Romans 8.
We worked out of the local church, which was called La Conexión Peninsular. And we made a practice of inviting them into our home, a family a week, so that we could learn Spanish, we could kind of control the atmosphere a little bit. We would be at church. So picture this, our church was on the second floor of a building with a row of windows and a row of windows, and we had to have them open because it was super hot, and so we were trying to get at least a little bit of a breeze through, but the road was super loud, so people selling stuff with a loudspeaker and honking horns, and so people wanted to talk to us after church and have fellowship time, but I couldn't even understand Wesley in English, much less people in Spanish. So we invited them into our home, and we'd make a pot roast for them and share a little bit of our culture with them.
It was delicious. I love pot roast.
You got to have a lot of pot roast, didn't you? And then we would learn in Spanish. We'd send the kids off with the kids, and they had a lot less Spanish than we did at the time, so it was kind of funny to watch them try to speak with the kids with one word here and one word there. But it was a lot of fun, and we learned. And they knew that we loved them even though we didn't have a lot of their language. This morning we'd like to introduce you to various people that we've met along the way, because our mission was the people. So first off, I'd like to introduce you to Anna and Elena.
Anna and Elena! I love Anna and Elena! They're so good at what they do!
They are very good at what they do. We met Elena when we were there for our survey trip, And she and I exchanged contact information, and we stayed in touch for the 2 years in between before landing in Ecuador. And she tried to help me with my Spanish. I would have my translator on my phone, and we'd be in a video chat, and I would be like, and I would look it up and try to speak with her, and we had little conversations. So when we actually landed in Ecuador, it was just kind of natural to have her over in our house. And so she would come over weekly, and we would have conversations, and then she would invite a friend, and it ended up that it was Anna and Elena coming every week to my home.
Anna and Elena! I love Anna and Elena! They're so good at what they do!
Yes, yes they are. Thank you, guys. And they were coming weekly, and my Spanish got better and better. Thank the Lord for that. And our conversations got deeper and deeper, and it got into information about Jesus and about how we should live a Christian life. The two of them were both single, 30-ish age women, and so it became a very beautiful mentoring kind of friendship. But Anna and Elena...
It's okay. I won't say it again.
They came on many of our ministry times as well. So they came with us to the schools. And when we would go to the schools, we would meet with three different age groups of children. And we would bring a value lesson. We were not allowed to talk about God. Kind of like here in our school system, we're not allowed to talk about God. But because we followed the rules, at Christmas time, they allowed us to talk about what Christmas was all about. So we kind of stretched that a little bit and talked about Jesus coming as a baby and why he had to come. And he came to die on the cross for our sins. And so we did bring that in. But we noticed... when we had Anna and Elena with us, that we had this resource of Spanish-speaking people right here. And so Wesley was teaching the value lesson, and we're like, these ladies could do this just as well, if not better, because they have the Spanish. So I said to Elena, you get to teach the next group. And she was like, okay. And so the next group came in and she taught. And then we handed it to Anna for the third group, and she looked at me like, no, I can't. And her big brown eyes. And she's a little more shy, a little more laid back, reserved. But we didn't give her a choice, poor girl. Gave her the information, and she did a wonderful job. You can see her face up there, and she's the far corner. She loves children, but she just didn't have the confidence to go out and actually teach them. Right now, she's teaching Sunday school. Elena's teaching Sunday school as well. Elena taught and prepared a whole vacation Bible school, a whole week of VBS, and they're just amazing. They're doing wonderful things. They have the confidence now to step out in what God is calling them to do. Elena also has a really big heart for her community. She wants to see a church planted there someday. So if you could be praying for Anna and Elena, that God will continue to use them and show them what he has in store for them.
And sometimes we would bring down short-term teams. They'd come down, they would help us out, and it's always a blessing to have them there, a blessing for the people that are there on the ground, the church that we were working in, because a bunch of the people there would come along and serve with the team wherever we would go. It would give us a bit of a bigger stage with a bigger group and more opportunities. We could do more things, larger activities, and it was a lot of fun. And when they would come and do things like sharing their testimonies and playing games and skits and songs and really did a lot of fun. But then we would share the gospel message, and we would often do that with the wordless book. Have any of you heard of the wordless book?
Me!
Oh, I know. Without... Do you want to tell the story of the wordless book?
Okay, I can try.
Okay, I'm going to try to do a quick version of the wordless book, since a lot of you maybe don't know it. It's a book of colors. You can see it on the screen. It starts with the color black. And the color is about the darkness of sin, and that we are all born into sin, and we all sin.
Oh, I know we all sin. Señor Wesley, even you sin.
I know, even I sin. So we're born into sin, and then, what happens next, Crisal?
Well, Jesus died on the cross, and his blood covers our sins if only we believe.
That's right, if we believe. And then, you can find the straight out of the Bible. I'm not going to bring all the references in right now, But then that makes us white as snow. So the next color is white. And through the belief in Jesus and what he did on the cross and his resurrection, we can be clean, cleansed from our sins, white as snow, so that in the sight of God, we are worthy of being with him. And so that brings us to the gold color or the yellow. And does anyone here know what the gold or the yellow might stand for?
Me, me, me.
Okay, what is it, Gustavo?
It's the gold streets that you walk on in heaven.
Okay, you're right, it is. It really represents heaven and the promise of heaven, the promise of eternity with that belief. And then the green is the growth that we have while still out here on earth. Because we don't go to heaven right away when we believe.
No, we don't.
We actually have time here to serve, to go, to make disciples, and to follow the Great Commission. So that is what they would do. I would like to introduce you to Juanita. Juanita is the lady in orange that you'll see on the screen. She prays for all the people in her community. And this is a home that had two families in it. And one day, when one of the short-term teams were there, we got a message from Juanita, which was actually a video of a gentleman in this home. His name is Raphael, who had lost his arm in an accident. And he was using his good arm in the time of floods. Now, we don't get a lot of flooding there, but when we do, it really does flood, and their homes were flooding out. So he was holding, with his one arm, a broomstick, trying to hold the roof up so the water wouldn't come in. He was standing knee-high in water. So the team saw this, and they wanted to do something. And even though they weren't trained in construction and renovation, they wanted to go. So they went, they prayed with the families, and they sang. They did some fun stuff to lift their spirits a bit. And John, one of the men in that family, he was brought to tears. And it's through, well, actually, even then, we left. And they said, well, we didn't do enough. What could we do? And they decided that amongst that team, they would raise enough money from back home and from the team to actually hire someone and buy the materials to rebuild that home. And in the next slide, you'll see Juanita buying those materials, doing the transactions so they can have a new roof. And so by just that small token of love, and through the VBS that Elena had done, their families started coming to our church. And it was a huge blessing.
Back on our survey trip, we met a man from the Gideons, and he wanted us to do our testimonies. We had a small group with us at the time, and he said, can you come with me about 45 minutes into the countryside? And we said, of course we can. So we followed him long, windy roads into an area where cattle were just kind of grazing everywhere, and horses and sheep and pigs, and it was the country. And houses didn't even have glass in their windows, and some of them didn't even have doors on the door frames. And we went and we put all of our stuff under this big tree so that we could teach the children under this tree. Fast forward to a year ago, February, there was a church in our area that did Operation Christmas Child.
Operation Christmas Child? I love Operation Christmas Child!
Me too. We've packed a lot of boxes here in Canada, but we had never seen anybody open the boxes on the other end. So there was this church, and they were teaching how to put on the great day, great box opening, no, the big adventure, box opening day, something like that. And so we went to the training, and I think they had to do it 2 or 3 days because there were so many people from the area that wanted to do Operation Christmas Child. And so we got trained in how to teach it, and we learned that there was a 12-week program afterwards as well. It's not just the kids opening their boxes. They actually get taught in the Word for 12 weeks afterwards, and then they graduate and get a Bible. And so we went about a week later when the boxes were actually arriving, and we helped to take them off the trucks and to pack them away. So
boy, were they heavy!
They were pretty heavy.
And there were lots of them.
I don't think you picked up a box there, I guess.
No, but I heard they were heavy.
They were heavy. Levi could tell you they were heavy. So we got to be there for that. And this part of Ecuador alone, so Ecuador has various different zones, gets 14,000 Christmas boxes. And so we helped them unload them. But we were praying that God would open up an opportunity for us to be part of the Great Adventure Box Opening Day party. And he answered that prayer in bigger ways than we could ever imagine. So in that week, Wesley got a message from a pastor in the area, and he said, we need help for a great, that day, the party. And we were like, yay, we can be there. We really want to help. So in the figuring out the details of the when, where, why, how, we realized that this man was the same Gideon man from 3 years earlier.
No way! And what was his name?
I would like to introduce you to Jose Luis and Maria del Carmen. In those 3 years, he became a pastor, and the little meeting underneath the tree became a church, and they're meeting weekly, and they were able to build just a patio with a roof, and they wanted to reach further into their community. So we're using the Operation Christmas Child boxes to do that. So we have a small video now that we'd like to show you so that you can kind of see the faces of the kids and that whole operation.
Chasing down those storm clouds in my way. There's a joy in compromise. For my guys, everything starts with me giving thanks. Ooh, the overflow of a grateful soul. I'm rising up, I'm lifting up. I can't help but thank you, Lord, for every blessing you pour over me. Because of how you set me free, can't help but sing. Agradecido, agradecido, agradecido. You have been so good to me. Agradecido, agradecido, agradecido. It's a free fall into grace. Yeah, every day. As I let go of my anxious mind, God, oh, you changed my point of view. To seek you, rain on your favor all my life. If you ever fail, I'm hoping the soul.
And you saw that on the video as well. I'd like to introduce you now to Luna. When we were in her home, she went excitedly to her bedroom. Just a minute, I gotta show you something. And came back with her Operation Christmas Child box. She had gotten it 5 years previously, but everything was in perfect condition. She opened her box and she would play with the markers, but put them back in the box. She would play with the doll that was in there, but put it back in the box. So everything was in perfect condition after 5 years. So just an encouragement, if you do Operation Christmas Child as a church or as individuals, they really, really cherish the gifts that they get. Also, there was a letter in her box. We're encouraged to personalize our boxes by writing to the kids, but it was in English. So she had never known what was written in her box.
I know how to speak English now.
Very good. But Luna did not know how to speak English, so I took the letter and I translated it for her. And at the bottom was an email address, and I asked her if she wanted me to reach out to them. It had been 5 years, so I wasn't sure if we would get a response, but she said, yes, please. So I emailed them, and they replied the next day, so I was able to translate that for the family as well. And it was a really big blessing for our family, for Luna and her family, but also for the family in California that had sent that box. So just an encouragement.
And I'd also like to introduce you to her parents, Christian and Anita. The AAR family, they came down to the coast and they played different games where we were. So we were at a church, small church there, and we already told you a little bit about the ministry. So they came to basketball, to baseball, to Bible study, to church. And we got to know them at a level of a friendship and get to know a little bit more about them. But in that same church, there were three North American missionary families. We were one of them. We were one of the newbies, and we were being trained in that church and helping as we served. And so we've now been decided to go to a different location. And so we, back then, did a survey trip again. We went around Ecuador, we traveled around.
Oh, we all got squished in that little car, didn't we?
It was actually quite something. And especially when the armed forces would take everything out of the vehicle that we had packed just perfectly, like Tetris, no well. And so anyhow, we would go and we would visit. And so we wanted to visit the AAR family. They were actually from the mountains. So we went to the mountain range. And actually, fun fact, Gustavo, do you want to talk about the different ranges or different zones?
Sure. There are just a few different zones in Ecuador. There's the coast, the Galapagos. Did you know that the Galapagos were part of Ecuador? And the mountains, the Andes Mountains, and the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, lots of different zones. It was very diverse. So we went to the mountains and we visited this family where they told us about their desire to be national missionaries, which is not easy to do, not easy to raise money in Ecuador from fellow Ecuadorians to be missionaries. They told us what they did. They sold their house back in 2020, sold their house, bought a passenger van so they could take students to and from school and do the before and after school programs to share the gospel with them. And then you know what happened in 2020? COVID hit, and they were no longer able to do that. So that was why they were down on the coast. They were following work. They were trying to find jobs, and that's all they could do. So they haven't been able to get back to doing what they feel called to do. So we hope that we can help in some way when we go back. And also on that trip, we went from the Andes Mountains down into the rainforest where we visited a campground. And the campground is called Camp Magayaku. And I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of it, but the short of it is it was a friend who grew up there. His parents actually started that camp, and they said, hey, if you're going to that area, you should go visit that jungle or that campground. And so we did. We went there three different times, and that time we stayed for a while, and we got to know different people. So I would like to introduce you to David and Carmen Vallecis. Now, this is a really neat family.
Oh, they were such a cool family. They go to different churches that they planted.
Yeah, they've planted four different churches in the area. He's a pastor at one local church, kind of their sending church. Not a pastor, he speaks there two Sundays a month. And then his wife, she runs the Awana program, the kids program, and they have a lot of kids that go there. But they've planted four other different churches. And so we had the opportunity to go, didn't we, Gus?
Yeah, we went there and we helped. We helped with the grass and the songs and the soccer.
Yeah, I helped with the soccer. We helped with the soccer. We brought the kids in that way. We just had a lot of fun and shared the gospel. And then we saw it was in that moment that we felt that this is the area that we'll be going back to. So we're The plan is to go to the rainforest and work there. We may work amongst the Shuar people sometimes or the other indigenous communities. The focus is going to be supporting this young family, or this family. So David and Carmen, they are national missionaries. They have been sent out and they have raised funds from fellow Ecuadorians. We want to help them, help the little church to support them. And Gustavo, we're going to bring Anna and Elena and some friends.
Anna and Elena, I love Anna and Elena. They're so good at what they do.
Yes, I know they're good at what they do, and they want to come and they want to help us. So from the coast, we'll have trips for the people that we've been serving with to come and to help serve in these new locations. And we're quite excited about that.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Thank you for listening to me, but I think the rest is really serious, so I might just go for now. Bye, everyone!
When we landed in Ecuador, we felt inadequate. We didn't have much language, we didn't have an ability to understand the people, and the culture was very, very different than here. But really early on, God brought me to this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5, where Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." Our last couple weeks in Ecuador, they wanted to have a party for us to send us off. And so we met in the church, and everybody got in a circle, and everybody was saying really nice things about how they met us and what we did in various different ministries there. But I'd like to introduce you to Sandra. She's the one with the microphone, and she got the microphone and she looked right at me. And she said, "Jessica, we see what you did. You left Canada, you left the comforts of Canada, your husband had a good job, good benefits, you left two of your children behind, and you came to a place that was not comfortable." And they watched our culture shock as it went through its different stages. And she said, "Your testimony speaks louder than any words you could speak." And she said, "I want to do the same. I want to become a missionary, and I want to go out and tell other people about Jesus." And so actually 5 people from that church have now gone to a missionary conference in Ecuador and want to continue that. So that was pretty special.
And her husband, Jonathan, I'd like to introduce you to him. He's the one that's continued some of the work while we're here. He's running the baseball or the softball that we're doing. And I would really just like to read something that he sent to us. We've translated it into English so that you don't have to bear with us through the Spanish. So this is what he wrote, and I think in general it speaks for itself. "Hello, brother. I want to express how grateful we are for the legacy you and your family left in Ecuador through the softball team. Thanks to that seed, we have grown a lot, not only as players, but also as a group, united in God's purpose. Softball practices have become a routine that many look forward to. Each game is an opportunity to strengthen friendships, enjoy the sport, and above all, share the gospel at the end of each practice. Many non-Christians are coming and hearing the gospel. Seeing how the Lord is using this ministry is a source of great joy. Thank you for all you did and for the example you left. I want you to know that everything is in good hands and that the fruit of your efforts continues to give life, hope, and purpose to many." I just have a few words to say. I don't want to take too long doing it, but really it's a focus on kind of giving up comfort to follow the will of God. And His will is to take up your cross and follow Him. And this is something that I'm just going to say a few points. I do want to mention where we're going. It's a place called Shell. Shell, Ecuador may ring a bell for some of you. There are a couple missionaries that are actually quite famous, if you want to say that word, for their martyrdom. Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and there are three other men. And they went into the Auca tribe, also known as the Warani. And they didn't want to get too much in the story because I was told that it was going to be a kid-friendly service, but they gave up their lives in order for the gospel to go. And the real, yes, that's a horrible, horrific thing to happen, but to God be the glory, the women, their wives, sister, and their children went in back with the tribe. One of the ladies there called them in and said, we still need you. We still need you. And they went and lived with them. And look up the story yourself to get all the ins and outs of it. But Nate Saint's son, Steve Saint, he was baptized and mentored by the very man who killed his father. And so it's an amazing story. Do look into that. But men like that, they even though the gospel, the Bible says, you know, we give up our life, they literally gave up their lives. But for us, it may not look that way in Canada, but we're giving up some of the things that the world might see as pleasure, the world might see as fun, and some of the securities, just to follow what God has us do. And I don't know a lot about your history, but even getting a building like this, that was probably something that you had to get to give something up or really take a risk, and you're here. And this is just, it's super amazing. And I know I've heard people here talking about how the future's looking bright, and it's exciting to hear that. I want to just show you Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he, that being Jesus, said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what does a man give in return for his soul? Or what can a man give? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And so it was about 6 years ago that Jessica and I were, you know, it might be almost seven by now, we're sitting in our living room with some other friends from our church, and we were reflecting on our lives. Jessica mentioned that we had a secure job with benefits and all that was great, a wonderful family, beautiful home, so many good things going for us, and a great community. But the Lord was tugging on our hearts. We were seeing that we were more or less actually giving him our leftovers. We're called to give him our first fruits, but we were giving our leftovers. We'd come home from work, I'd be exhausted. I was responsible for the junior high Wednesday night study and the deacon on a board, and I didn't have the passion or the drive or the energy to do that. Some of you may feel the same way, I don't know, sometimes. And it was through that that we then delved into the scriptures and we really saw God speaking to us to really shake things up, and not for us, but for him and for his glory. So I'm not going to go into the whole story of how we became missionaries, but through that study, that's one thing that that really pushed us in that direction. And it has not been easy. We've been followed in a shopping center and had to have a police escort away. We've had beer bottles being thrown over the wall, smashing on our patio just outside our daughter's window at 3 o'clock in the morning. Kind of scary. You try to run big events and few people show up. That can be discouraging. And then going around to different churches is really encouraging, but it's not easy to be doing this every weekend and going in and speaking with people. We love being here, but you know, asking for support is not an easy thing. So there are times when we could be discouraged to give up. But we're here to encourage you and to encourage yourselves to keep on. To keep on keeping on, as they say. And actually, I'm not sure if you can go back to the screen with the Nate Saint House. It's a museum. Jim Elliott, he is very well known for this quote. You can follow along. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And sure, I think I may have more things I could say, but I really think we can leave it on that. That's if you can let that statement just sink in, it can really impact your life. And just you can go back to Mark chapter 8 just to see where that comes from. So yeah, we want to encourage you to go to make disciples, to follow the Great Commission, and to serve those who are around you.
The last slide, Levi. So as the pastor said, we cannot go. We want to go. We want to go back to Ecuador, but we can't get there without support. In our agency, they don't let you go unless you're 100% of your budget. So we are working. We are going to churches, encouraging them to be able to do the Great Commission as well. But this slide shows you how you can reach us. And we have a table out there as well. We have a sign-up sheet for our newsletters that we send out at least monthly, sometimes a little more often. And you can sign up to get those newsletters, or you can help give. So.
And
yeah.
Do grab one of these prayer cards.
We have updated ones over there.
And do grab a prayer card that you can put on your bulletin board or your fridge that you can
be praying.
Can keep us in mind. And not just us, the missionaries all around the world, and your neighbor next door. All right, God bless. Thank you so much for this opportunity.